count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Tell him your testimony. Is it safe delivery? Is it a promotion you receive? Tell the Lord your testimony. Tell him your testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't worry, just sit down. Amen. Don't worry, those of you coming to give your thanksgiving offering, just wait. Let me prophesy small. While the weather is still cool, so that he can enter. 154, let's sing it. Then I pick a text. Then I give an exhortation. Then we worship God. Then we dedicate the children. Then we take offering. Then we share the grace. Then we go and come back in the night for crossover. Then we close. Then Monday begins. Hallelujah. I hope those who want to come for our crossover night, I hope you have not eaten. If you have eaten, please go to the toilet and vomit it out. We are not eating until we cross over this night. Amen. That's the condition to join us. The condition to join us is no chop. Till you may drink only water. Please, not Coke or Zobo, please. Don't drink Coke, only water. Because when you praise God here, some of us are going to sweat. Your voice, we need some water. You can drink only water. Water not to stop hunger. In fact, water to increase hunger. So you can drink. Amen. 154, as we tell the Lord, just as I am. Without one plea, we just come under your blood. Everybody now. Gather here this morning to give glory to your name. We gather here this morning to worship you. We gather here this morning, Father, to tell the whole world which side we belong. We have come to worship the God of Israel. He is the only true God. May you accept our worship today in the name of Jesus. Nobody comes before your presence and remain the same. May we be better than we came here at the end of this service in the name of Jesus. We want to go into your word. Grant us understanding, Lord. Speak to somebody's heart here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Genesis chapter 2, before we see that, let's pick a text. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is the beginning of trouble for man. Revelation is the end of that trouble for man. And I read verse 15, 16, and 17. Verse 15, 16, and 17, Genesis chapter number 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And maybe somebody thinks I want to preach on serpent seed. I am not preaching on serpent seed, though. Amen. So relax. I'm not talking about serpent seed. I'm going a little somewhere that will make us understand why there had to be a serpent seed. And some of these exhortations I've been taking recently, there's a purpose it is supposed to achieve. What is the purpose? It is to let everyone that is listening to us, coming across us, worshiping with us here or online, that may come across any of our messages, to know why we are not a denomination. Why we are not a denomination. We are a restored ministry. I'll continue to say it so that you will not just see this ministry as another ministry. We continue to say it to let the people be established, like Peter would say, in the present truth. There is God's present truth. Church, the process of salvation is a program of God. It's an agenda. Item by item in that agenda, that is why I preach the message I titled The Divine Agenda. You must understand this to know why we speak the way we speak and why we act the way we act. We have an identity. Identity that is a reflection of a revelation we have. I'll continue to say this for some time because I am also a watchman. We don't only watch witches and wizards. There is a spirit we are also watching that has killed the light of the gospel each time God gives that light. And I'm also aware that God chooses his ministers. Look at all the seven church ages. Look at all, even in the Old Testament. Look at all the patriarchs who received this grace from God, fresh, original, straight from God, not handed over. None of them allowed the light to slip off their hand. Satan will never succeed until the man is taken away. It was when men slept that the enemy went and planted tares in that farm. While the men are still alive, he couldn't try it. Because Apostle Paul will lay a curse on anybody that will preach anything contrary to what he preached. So they will allow Apostle Paul to die and go first. They will allow Luther to go first. They will allow Wesley to go first. They allow William Branham to go first before the nonsense that is happening now in the end time message. There is another move that is going on. And by God's grace, as long as I am alive, Satan, listen to me, you will not succeed. What am I watching out for? To turn this place to just another gathering. What is the name of your church? They ask you. Remember, they are not interested in the revelation you have. The question they ask is, what is the name of your church? Hey, bride, hey, which one be that again? Because there are so many names. And I keep saying it because, hallelujah, but he said a tree is known by her fruits. Am I correct? Hallelujah. How do I know that you sitting down here now understand what I am teaching? It is your response. The response is not amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is your response in the life that you live. Hallelujah. In the life that you live. Because as far as Peter was concerned, Judas was one of them. He was the most prominent of all of them. The only other person that was known was John, who loved Christ. So there he will not hide his love for Christ. When they are sitting down like this, he will go and lie down, put his chest on his, his head on his chest to show, say, I love this man too much. But the rest, everybody thought we are all together until Judas manifested his revelation. All that Judas saw was, this man, I can use him to get some money. I love him, oh. I love him, but I can use him to get some money. There is another man in the Bible that was very close with Apostle Paul. And was working very closely with Apostle Paul. What is his name? Demas. Demas. Demas worked with Paul. Demas worked with Paul. As I'm preaching now, there are some people that are texting messages to some minister who have left here now. See, then they preach you now. Go ahead, tell him so that he will listen to me. Tell them so that they will listen to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if they listen, they may repent. So tell them. Say, see, your pastor, don't they go? I know where they go. Now you want to talk about. He don't call you Demas. Yes, he said Demas. Was he not with us? Did I not think he was with us? Were we not working hand in hand together? But he said, Demas has forsaken me and gone to the world. Spirits don't die. Hallelujah. They look for vessels to possess. Any man or woman, go to the Facebook and you will see men and women that were prominent people in this church. And see what they have. Many of these people, while they are here, they were under cage. As soon as they got fed up and they let loose, they entered the world deep. Deep. And then Satan wants to make it look as if, I told you, Pastor Moses, you are just talking nonsense. All this while you are talking nonsense, there is no effect. But the foundation of God standeth. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let them that nameth the name of the Lord do what? I am not talking to everybody. My sheep. Know my voice. I am not talking to everybody. Hallelujah. Because in this church here, there are fornicators. There are. Did they hear me? They didn't hear me. For one night at the church. Hallelujah. Somebody, a brother, borrowed money from someone. And when they ask, they say, ah, wait till now. Ah, why did somebody, you want to carry this money, go rapture? You go carry and go rapture a brother. So that brother will not help another brother again in the church. That's why Satan uses that. In the church,
there is a gossip. Deadly gossip. Deadly gossip.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When a sister was giving me revelation of something I had already known, or let me say suspected, and she was tearing it down, I looked at her. I said, sister, God talks to you. And I narrated it. Somebody I used to relate very closely with suddenly has gone cold towards me. And I suspected, based on who he's associating with, I know some deadly, poisonous gossip has been told that person concerning me. In this church, but don't worry. Hallelujah. Everyone that has decided to serve God, serve him faithfully and sincerely. Leave the rest to God. He will take care of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't let anybody's actions stop you from loving someone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let, because sometimes it is not that person, it's a trial of your own faith. Can you love somebody that you know is against you? That is it. In our time to prove it. He will let somebody close to you to betray you and see whether you can still love him. Will Abraham say, that is the first evidence of the Holy Ghost. That you know somebody hates you. He hates you, and yet something inside of you still makes you love him. He said, that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. May somebody have that grace in the name of Jesus. I'm saying it because I am preaching. Hallelujah. I'm saying it because I am preaching. My exhortation is not long. It's short. Hallelujah. I want you to understand who we are. And that we have an identity. And that we are in a restoration ministry. And that something happened that has reduced us to what we are today. And what happened is not serpent seed first. That is what I want to show you today. Hallelujah. What happened? I am going to the root of what happened. It is not serpent seed that first happened. There was something that gave rise to the serpent seed. And I'm titling this short exhortation, God's first law to man. God's first law to man. God's first law to man is where we read. This is the first law he gave man after he created man. Verse 15, 16, and 17, where I read. I want to read it again. And please, take note. It's very, very important. When God quickened this to me, I knew somebody should also hear it. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Then he gave the commandment. And the Lord God commanded the man. This is the first commandment in the Bible to man. Jesus Christ, the Pharisees asked him, what is the greatest command, the great commandment? Among all the commandments, which one is greatest? He didn't say which one is the first commandment of God. Don't mix it. The greatness of the commandment that God gave Moses for his people. Among the 10 of them, the Pharisees were asking him, which one? And remember, they were not asking to know. They were asking so that they will find a reason to make him enter a trap. And then he told them the first one is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, everything. Love him with everything you have. He said, and the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, God's first commandment, greatest commandment is love. Because upon it, all other laws hang. That is a different teaching from where I am going to now. The first commandment here, and the Lord, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is the first law that was given to Adam and Eve. Praise the Lord. What is this law? The first law that God gave man is the law of life and the law of death. The law, you do this, you will live and dominate this earth that I have placed you. If you do this, you will surely die. You will lose the control of this earth. You will cease to exist. You will become powerless. So, Adam and Eve, God did not trouble them with too much laws. And even Christians today, under grace, God has not troubled us with too many commandments. That's why the only commandment he gave us is love. And he that is of God loveth. For God is love. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, praise God. Why he said that is, if you love someone, you won't do anything to hurt that person. Every other law that laws to stop you from hurting your neighbor, hurting your wife, hurting whoever, your brother, your sister. So the only commandment he gave is love. Love. And it is not grievous. And these two laws is what is represented in the garden. Listen. Hallelujah. They were not literal trees. The trees in the garden there of Eden, they were not physical trees like literal trees like mango, cashew nut, pawpaw, whatever you call it, iroko tree. That's not, no. It is a book for revelation. It's spoken in symbols for a reason. Because the secret things belong to the Lord. And he chooses how he will reveal it to his people. And he has a reason to shield some revelation. So that certain people will not get to know it and mess it up. When Apostle Paul said, no man can call Christ Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Just say Christ. It means I have Holy Ghost, Abby. That's all. Everybody is saying Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Because Satan had the Holy Ghost speaking like that. There are some things that God can allow Satan to mess it up, but there are some things that affect his agenda that he won't let them know. Only his own. And it will be at the appropriate time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you take note that the book of Revelation and the book Genesis, these mysteries of the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness, if you observe all these years during the Reformation, a few people touching here and here, people like Clarence Larkin, people like all of the reformers generally, some of them, the great theologians, they try to bring out this book of Revelation, what those symbols mean and things like that. They try on their own, but many of them were doing this by intellectualism. And suddenly now, as the program of God is winding up, attention again is going back to the mysteries among a select group of people the Bible call the bride of Jesus Christ. Because the mystery of salvation will be revealed to the bride. It is time for the bridegroom to let the bride know everything that pertains to him. That is why now, all of a sudden, that there's a group of people whose emphasis is not on acquiring worldly things, is now knowing the attention, the emphasis now is on the mystery of salvation. So that we can understand what is happening, what the devil is doing, so that you will know where to stand, for the time is too short to play religion with your Christian faith. And so these two trees are not physical, literal trees. They are two laws. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. This is the way he put it, verse 7. Verse 7, 8, and 9. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And see where I am going? Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Listen to that language very well. Let me read it again. Verse 9. And out of the ground, literal physical trees now, made the Lord God to grow out of the ground every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then he added, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These two trees were also in the midst of the garden. It means when he gave them the law, he gave all the trees, the vegetation, and everything for food and for everything. Concerning that garden also, there are two trees he also gave them. It is the law to enjoy that garden. It's also pertaining to the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, of the tree, the fruit of the tree. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. You are not to eat of it. If you eat of it, the emphasis there is eat. There is no problem with the tree standing there. The problem is you eating it. If it is not a literal physical tree in the garden, where you can also eat physically, you can pluck mango and eat. If it is a literal tree, if it is a symbolic tree that is there, it means that word, the eat, will also be a symbolic eating. It is not sex. Sex is the product of that eating. Don't be confused. There was a sin of sex. Fornication. There was. Between the serpent and Eve. But I'm going to the reason why they fornicated. There was one eating. Amen. Applying it, rightly dividing the word of truth. The two trees there in the midst of the garden, a tree produces fruit to be eaten, like I've explained. Now, so we have two trees. The tree of life, it means that tree, if you eat it, you will have life. It is a source. The tree, therefore, is a source. A source of life. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is also a source. That if you eat what it produces, you will die. So, now it is now the fruit of that tree. The fruit of that tree. Without the fruit, there will be no eating. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we begin to see something here. In Revelation chapter 2, there is a statement that will help us to understand something here. The first church age, chapter 2, the overcomers in verse 7. Hallelujah. The overcomers in verse 7. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree has not been removed. The tree there, if you read during the judgment, he sent his cherubims to protect the tree so that man will not go and eat it because he has eaten the other one. Oh, Father, help me to explain it well. So, just imagine that all that you are to labor, you are to deny yourself. All that you are struggling for in fasting, in resisting temptation, the reward is that you will eat of the tree of life that Adam and Eve were prevented from eating. And who is that tree of knowledge of good and evil? And who is that tree of life? If the tree of life is a source of eternal life, the tree of life is Jesus. Now, does that mean that Jesus, hallelujah, does that mean that Jesus was existing in the Garden of Eden? No. It is a law. It is a law. It is a law of life. Hallelujah. It is a law of life. Jesus Christ was not in the Garden of Eden. Far be it. I'm not teaching that. Some people teach it. No. There is a source of life and there is a source for death. And who is the source of death in the Garden of Eden is the serpent. The serpent was the source of life. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus is the source, the source of death. Just as Jesus is the source of life. Now, but we know that it was not serpent doing that. There was a spirit that was inspiring him to do that. That spirit, therefore, is the tree that manifests through a vessel. And that vessel in the Garden of Eden is a serpent. Therefore, the source of life, the tree of life, of eternal life also, is God himself. But he will use a means by which he will distribute that eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you will understand John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, so that you understand why Jesus Christ spoke, then we shall understand this eating he's talking about. John, hallelujah, chapter 6. From, amen, hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 44. God's first law to man. That is my emphasis. From verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and there shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father. You learn of the Father. The source of life is the Father. That has learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father. Adam and Eve did not see the spirit that was moving the serpent. Until today, people have not seen the Father in Christ Jesus. Save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. And that one is the Lord Jesus himself. Then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, the emphasis therefore is believing. You have to believe. He that believeth in me has everlasting life. Therefore, the tree of life flows from God. Through who? Through Christ himself. Then he added in verse 48, I am that bread of life. And bread is meant to be eaten. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The source of life that was lost, protected from the Garden of Eden. It is still there and in the midst of the paradise of God. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's where I am going, except you eat. See the eating now. There is eating in the Garden of Eden. And there is eating here now. Jesus Christ says, eat. Amen. Therefore, the eating there is not literal fruit. It's not literal blood. It's not literal body of Jesus Christ that we shall eat. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, what is this eating? So what is this eating now that they ate? When he said, don't eat of this fruit. It simply means, and that is the original sin. The original sin came from disobeying the original law. The original law is, don't eat. What is it to eat? To eat the body of Jesus Christ is to understand. And you cannot understand until you listen. Hallelujah. There were two preachers in the Garden of Eden. There were two preachers in the Garden of Eden. The Holy Spirit and the Satan.
And the Bible calls the two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Hallelujah.
So, what was the commandment? Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that tree and act on it. If you don't listen, you won't know what to act. That is why I say that it was because they listened. If they did not listen, there would have been no serpent seed. That is the law. If they did not listen, they will not have taken heed. Hallelujah.
Let's read on. Chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Amen. From verse 1. Let me read the full story. Just for emphasis. I know you have read it several times, but this is for emphasis. Because me too, I've been reading it until this thing I'm sharing now was quickened to me. Because I'll tell you why it's important that I bring it out again now. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Because God does not use anyhow vessels for his program. Satan too does not use anyhow vessels for his program. There is the right person. That's why he could not go to Peter. He had to go to Judas. Hallelujah. So he does not use anyhow person. One of the reasons, like we saw, what's his name? Is it somebody that wrote A Man Sent from God? Is it Gordon Lindsay? Thank you. Gordon Lindsay wrote something in the book he wrote concerning William Branham that he titled A Man Sent from God. He said one of the reasons that God chose William Branham is because that God knew that his own ministry will not produce another denomination. You see? His own ministry will not produce another denomination. And since he died, enter message, where is the headquarters? See? Who is dictating to us what to do and what not to do? So before, of all the animals that serpent Satan could use, it was the serpent. If you notice here, all of us are talking serpent, but I am going beyond serpent. I am going beyond serpent. Just like I went beyond Judas to see the spirit that entered him and made him act the way he acted. And then people will be looking at the physical and leave the spirit that is pushing people to do what they are doing. No normal woman will dress and expose her sacred parts of her body. No normal woman. When you see a woman dressing and then exposing her breasts, exposing her thighs, exposing, please look beyond that woman and see that she is possessed. But unfortunately, Judas did not know that he had been possessed. His mind was on the money he will make. Unfortunately, the woman that dresses anyhow does not know what she is doing because of the spirit that is, and then the spirit will be justifying it. Will be justifying it. When you see a normal person telling you that what you are doing is wrong, and you find yourself justifying it, it is evidence you are not normal. You are not normal. So, it was, we must go beyond serpent. Satan, we know you are the one, no? You are the one.
You are the one, not the serpent. Now you.
But woe to that man through whom offense will come. Woe. to that man through whom offense will come. Do you know that he said, if the prophet be deceived, he said, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Then when you read further, he said, after he has used the prophet to deceive somebody, to answer him according to the adult with his heart, then he will turn to the prophet and destroy that prophet. So you study and know this God. Because God will not use Micaiah for that assignment. God will not use Elijah. God will not use Elisha to deceive somebody. He has to use somebody that already he himself, his second name, na deception. But he is gifted. Learn to know this God so that you will tread carefully with him. So that is why I say that the serpent will look beyond the serpent. Okay, which verse am I? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had commanded. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said? I told you there are two preachers in the Garden of Eden. God has come and given his own sermon. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Do you know something? God used to come down by himself. In the cool of the evening, he will come and have fellowship with his children. So you can imagine the sermon he was giving Adam and Eve. Then when he has gone, hallelujah, suddenly another preacher will come. But this time, he does not come as a spirit. He uses a vessel. So that he will not be known that he is the one doing it. And that is why too I believe that in the process of the redemption, because man decided to listen to a physical being, not a spirit. To listen to a physical being, serpent. That's why God is saying, okay, it looks like man listens more to the thing he can see than the spirit that he cannot see. So, he formed himself a body in the womb of a virgin. So that maybe when they now hear him, when he speaks through that vessel, they will be able to hear him. Till today, Satan uses vessel. God too decided to use vessel. The mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's why he is the source of life. Okay? Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. I'm going somewhere else. And the woman said unto the serpent, he was telling him the sermon that was received. Hallelujah. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. I must break this thing down. It's important to catch this thing. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I preach a message. The same thing we preach here. This same serpent possessed people. Excuse me. Not the food I eat. Now what I drink. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Some people say, hey, God, don't catch up. I'm free now. That is his, the English people call it modus operandi. That is his mode of operation. He is always trying to explain something God has spoken. He is always trying to interpret a law, and it is always a law or an order of things. Always. And when they say it very convincingly, because they have the ability to convince by the spirit that dwells in them, who was also able to convince one third of the population of the angels in heaven to follow him. And he has convinced the whole world until the percentage, the ratio of believers, true believers, and the rest of the world, the believers are very minute. The rest of the world are following that same old spirit. The Bible refers to him as serpent. But please, it's only to tell you the identification. Serpent has died since. But that spirit is still available now. Because those spirits don't die. Hallelujah. It's still around. And his interest is the Garden of Eden, where God has placed his own children there. And the Garden of Eden this time is the church of Jesus Christ. That is where he's interested in. Don't look for Satan in cloud 999. Have you been in the column? Cloud 999. Don't look for Satan in the ocean. Don't look for Satan anywhere in any occult place. All those ones, mommy water, papi water, all those cults and all those leaders, we had all those spirits working all those religions in the world. Let me tell you, they are just the lieutenants of Satan to hold fort for him in the lesser area. His interest is the church. Satan, his address is the church. If you don't catch it, we are more revelated than that. The Antichrist. When I finish this now, I'm going to now take the Antichrist. We'll look at Revelation chapter 13. And it will bring out who the Antichrist is for the study of the book of Revelation to be completed. This I'm preaching now is going to be part of that series. I intend to put all of them together in a book that I will title the book of Revelation. For people to know what, for the bride to know, because it's not for everybody. Praise the Lord. Some will read it and fight me. But some will read it and see reason to run for their life. These two spirits must exist. Praise the Lord. Because I preached here in the church here about the fivefold ministry. And see how subtle it is. Now, a prophet that left this church has gone out to set up a ministry and employ people who can preach to be pastor. Because he knows he's not a preacher. Now, he's employing a pastor. And please, in the beginning, it was not so. We preached the ancient landmark. Listen, church. This fivefold ministry have their function. Now, listen to the reasoning of that prophet. The reasoning of that prophet is that fivefold ministry, evangelists, not the pastor church, teacher, Brother Enoch is a teacher. Is he not pastoring a church? Is he not in the fivefold ministry? Why should you say a prophet cannot also head a church? Now, we took time here before that prophet left here. We took time to teach all these years until churches are rearranging themselves to follow. Prophets that are pastoring churches are resigning, listening to us. Yeah, people who are here with us all this while. Now, listen, church. I am not against anybody, going to set up anything you like to set to go and set up. But I have a duty to teach. And that's exactly what I am doing now. And you cannot be forced. You can take a horse to the river, but you can't force it to drink. It is my duty before heaven and earth that I have told them the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A pastor is a pastor. A prophet is a prophet. And you are supposed to stay in your own calling. Because a pastor is leadership. It's leadership. The highest of them, out of the apart from the apostolic ministry, the other four ministry, the only ministry that is localized is the pastoral ministry that gathers the people. The rest, it is for the body of Christ, and they must have a local church they belong to. Evangelist, a teacher, and who again? A prophet. Now, you are free. Go and set up whatever you want to set up. When this ministry started, there were no gifts. So the foundation of this ministry is not the gifts. And please, can I tell you, the reason why you are a member of this church is not the gifts. It's not the gifts. It's a knowledge you have. Hallelujah. If it is the gift that brought you here, then you are most foolish, because every gift that is here is 1,000 times somewhere else. Better than what we see here. The only thing we have that is 1,000 times better than so many places is the revelation of the word. Revelation of the word. Revelation of the word. Now, when that prophet speaks, it looks very, very reasonable. If you reason it, if you eat it, if you eat that salmon, then very soon, Prophet Boboye will go and start a church. Very soon, Prophet Sunday will go and start a church. He will call a ministry. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, that prophet went to start the prayer. He said he has a pastor. His flyer that he came here on Tuesday and he was sharing to everybody here to go for his program. Why is it only his picture we saw there? Why we don't see his pastor's picture in that flyer? Who are you deceiving? Hallelujah. And he was here. And you know you don't have a pastoral calling. But we know why you are setting up that ministry. Time will show. Time will show. I'm saying it here because I know you are somewhere listening to me now. In your bedroom or your sitting room. You are listening to me now. I'm not saying it to hate you. If only you can take your position, I will relate with you. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a member of this church. Oh. You can go anywhere else and become a member of any church. But I will relate with you. But that you go the way you are going the way of Demas. Nothing more than that. Praise the Lord. And that is not to pick it personal with him. I am a preacher. And please be careful how you act around a preacher. Because he will preach you. Praise the Lord. Because it's what we see and hear we talk about. Hallelujah. It's what we see, we hear, we talk about. A prophet, you know what you see, you talk. And we now what do we hear? We say we are seen and we they talk. Praise the Lord. We speak against the denomination because we have heard what they teach. We speak again because we see what they do. And please, you won't pass through here and tell us to keep our mouth closed because you pass through here. We will say louder than the ones that didn't pass through us here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I continue my reading before my throat hook? Which verse am I? I have very few minutes and I will leave now. Where? Which verse? Verse 20 now. And the woman said unto the serpent, he was preaching what? The unadulterated word. Hallelujah. And verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I was listening to Oyakhilome, and he was preaching, and he was saying that there are some churches, ministers that preach that you don't wear a ring, you don't wear trousers, you don't this, you don't do this. I was listening to him. He said, let me tell you, sisters, they admire you. He said, let me tell you, sisters, and those Asmodi people, they stood up with their half-naked body, right up, pastor. Then he ended by saying, no. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It is not the outward appearance. It is what is in the heart. And you know, it's reasonable. You know, and then you begin to eat it. 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 And as you eat it, you are digesting it. And as you are eating it, you are digesting it. As you are digesting it, what will happen? You are a reflection of what you eat. Eh? When you see somebody is skin smooth, they tell what they make the skin outside smooth. Not be cream. Sister, not be cream. Oh, you don't know. It's not cream. Oh. Hey. Why your skin is shining is the food you eat. It's the food you eat. Eat a lot of cucumber. Hallelujah. Eat a lot of vegetables. Eat a lot of fruits. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your body, it will reflect in your body. Then some people will think, it says, see your skin. Hey, money. Not be money. It is what we eat. And you don't need too much money to eat something. Hallelujah. And then you begin to eat that nonsense. And Eve began to eat what the serpent was telling her. It's true. That is the eating now. As you are listening, it will enter you. It will enter the mouth of your mind. And then the digestive system is digesting it. And what this one is saying is true. It's true. Honey, sweetie, Adam, did you hear what that preacher was saying in that channel? Did you hear? It's true. It doesn't matter. Do you know that we just stay like this, we look ourselves. We just look ourselves. We don't know, say, this is where they in between us. So, something did they are. This is where they look. This is because, let's read it. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Hey! Is somebody understanding me now? Is somebody understanding me now? It was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make man wise. One wise. She took of the fruit, of the fruit thereof, and did eat. Okay? And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And when they did, what happened? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. It means that which they ate was something relating to their sexual organs. That which they ate. That's why I say there is a dual application of that eat. Hallelujah. There is a dual application of that eat. There is the eating of digesting, receiving the salmon from that source. That if you eat it and it enters your system, it will produce death. There is another source. If you eat it and you digest it, the bread of life. If you eat it, you digest it, it will produce eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Because he has become a source of life, the tree of life. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And people are still eating that from that source up till now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay now. So suddenly they knew that they were naked. When their eyes were open, were they blind before? They acted on something they had. That is the emphasis. They acted on something they had. That is the first commandment of God. Take it up. How you listen. Be careful. The source that you listen. That you listen from. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We see the same pattern. In the book of Revelation, when the church of Jesus Christ started, let's read it. The first church age, the beginning of the church, chapter 2, Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From verse 1. In my teaching of the book of Revelation, I told you that every spirit you saw in the first church age, it moved to the second church age and added more deception. He didn't drop what he used in the first church age. He carries it over to the next church age, carried both the first church age, the second church age, to the third church age. Now we are in the seventh church age. All the manifestations of Satan in the last six church ages, everything is now concentrated on the seventh church age. Therefore, we have more to resist, to fight, to overcome than the first church age. This is the age that he has totally taken over. But God too, this is the age he is also concluding his own agenda with his own people. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Say my grace.
Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number?
Answer it. Answer. Are you in that number?
Oh, I am in that number.
I am in that number. You can say. Always coming to his own. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. This thing say he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Who is that person? Oh, church, say it now. Who is the person? That's the Lord Jesus himself.
I know thy works.
To that age.
And thy labor.
Hallelujah.
And thy patience. And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them. We say they are apostles and are not. And hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, in that first church age, there were false teachers in that first church age. Nevertheless, they were able to withstand those who claim they are apostles. But there is another group that they could not totally withstand. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And that candlestick is also a type of the tree of life that is removed from Adam and Eve. But this thou hast, they could not conquer this one, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans were there among them. They hated it. Hallelujah. And Christ himself also, he said he too hates it. Why does he hate it? Because it is nothing but the same serpental doctrines and preaches and activities they do to bring death in the church. Death there is separation from God. That divides the deed of the Nicolaitans is the action that they were undertaken by those false group of ministers and bishops that created a barrier between the leadership and the laity. They conquered the laity. Nikao, conquer. They conquered the people's mind, conquered their faith, conquered everything, and the people could do nothing in the name of the Lord except the leadership tells them what to do. The leadership has the final say. And that spirit is still on now in some churches. The pastor has a final say. Because you have nothing to judge what the pastor is saying. He has been successfully captured the minds of the people by their sorcery and witchcrafts. But with fear and words, they use fear and conquer the people. And what is the effect? The light goes out. The people will not listen to the Holy Ghost again. Only the pulpit. Oh. The same way Christ dropped through his apostles, dropped the unadulterated word of God. In that same church, a group of people sprang up again with another gospel. What is the result? It brings death. It brings separation. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. False apostles. And so today, what is the effect of that eating? One, spiritually, now I'm talking of spiritual now. When you listen, they listen to the serpent. They listen to the serpent. That is the eating. They listen and reason with the serpent. It's not just listening, but reasoning with him. What happened? They ended up in that fornication. Because the serpent had to prove it. Had to prove it to Eve. Serpent had to prove it. That it is good and there's something there to be desired and it is good for food. And then, so she proved it first with a serpent. And then she now was sure that salmon is true.
Maybe we didn't understand God very well. Then you will ask the question, but why did God create the sexual organs if it was not meant for procreation? I didn't say that God did not want them to reproduce. After all, he gave a law to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Hallelujah. But there is a godly way of doing it, and there is an ungodly way of doing it. He said it was good in the eye, and it was something to be desired. That is not the purpose of creating the sexual organs. The reproductive system was meant solely for reproduction. When the serpent was having an affair with that woman to start with, hallelujah, is she his wife? So that act itself was, you know, punishable. Did I create you, Eve, for a serpent or for Adam? And to convince Adam, you have to repeat the sermon that you heard from serpent. Why did this serpent go to the man? Because his intention is to defile the woman. The serpent was not a homosexual. The serpent was not a homosexual. And Adam was not a homosexual. There is nothing in a man for another man to see and desire. But God created the woman and fashioned her in a way that will attract the man. And God has time for everything. Everything. God has time for everything. Praise the Lord. Yes, what is your offense? Two offenses. Number one, she went and committed adultery. That is why up to today, you are allowed to put away your wife if you catch her in fornication. God never forgive her for what he do, forgetting of it. Then, woman, sister, don't ask me if I catch the husband, uncle, I don't know what God talk for that one. Make I just talk the one way God talk. That should tell you how, because that singular action has sent God into more than 6,000 years of an agenda. That 5 minutes or 2 minutes action, 2 minutes action has sent us into all the trouble we are having today. How can God leave the woman like that? That's why every month, but let it pay me this one. When it's time to come out, hey, Ike, you are calling the man. No, be that one. You have to say, hey, Eve, see what you bring for us. She caused it. Because she reasoned with the serpent. Praise the Lord. What is the effect of that? It produced hybridization. It produced death. Praise God. What does it do? Fornication. Fornication there is the right thing abused. God ordained it to be done lawfully. And there will have been a time because it is nature. When the time comes for copulation, it will flow naturally. It will flow naturally for man. Yes, we know that it happens also among women, among animals. To my greatest surprise, that I noticed that chimpanzees also are homosexuals. Some of them are homosexuals. Chimpanzee. Because I preached here one time. I said, only man commits sodomy. And a brother called me who listened to it and told me, he said, no, watch National Geographic. Wild. He said, see, chimpanzee also male and male. Then they chased themselves. So I quickly replied him. I said, it's the same spirit that is on man, that is on woman. I mean, that is on animal. No wonder. Apostle Paul said, the whole earth groaning. The whole creature is groaning for the manifestation. I think that's Romans chapter 8. For the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God is in the millennium, when things will come back to order. Because even in the animal kingdom, there is disorderliness. No peace anywhere. The whole creature, including plants, vegetation, chemical pollution, and everything else, have spoiled the order of things. Therefore, all creature is groaning for that millennium when the sons of God will manifest. They will rule this earth. I will be among them. I don't know how many will be among them. Amen. So we have a hybrid religion. So that you understand, James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hey, brother, sister, as we live our lives on earth here, be careful that you don't join yourself. But how it is taking place? Because of the gospel that we are reasoning with. You are reasoning. And what does it produce? The type of church that we have now. No life. No life. A church is supposed to be, a true church is supposed to be the crown and pillar of truth. And we cannot be born again until the seed that gives birth to you is received in the womb of your spirit. And the Bible says we are born again by the incorruptible. He emphasizes it. Peter said the seed is incorruptible. The incorruptible seed of God's word. And if that seed is in you, you cannot commit sin. John says so. Why? Because his seed remained in you. Therefore, you cannot live in sin. There is something to check you. But these days, why do people go to church, sinners, and go back and nothing to make them reflect in their Christian life? Why? Because of hybridization. It's a hybrid Christianity that cannot produce life. When you bring a donkey and you bring a horse and mate it, what it produces is a hybrid. It cannot reproduce itself. It is sterile. There is no life that it can produce another life. Praise the Lord. So the only thing it has is the ability to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. But no life to produce. Nothing. It has strength. It has anything, power, everything. But reproduce yourself now. Nothing. That is why the true church is not able to be reproduced. Because church and the world have fornicated and jammed themselves together. And the Apostle James called them adulterers and adulteresses. What are they teaching us? It doesn't matter gospel. Even if it doesn't matter gospel, then why did people of old die holding this faith? Maybe they were wrong. It doesn't matter for that man to suffer the shameful death, the gruesome death on the cross on Calvary. There's somebody believing and say it doesn't matter, you can act anyhow. They will not tell you that same man on the cross of Calvary said, if you will follow me, pick up your cross. I pick my own, be ready to pick your own. For all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. There's a reason Apostle Paul says so. Hallelujah. My emphasis is that eating. So that you will take it what you eat. It's not every restaurant you go and buy food and eat. Am I correct? It's not every restaurant you go and buy food and eat. Especially those of you who travel. And there is something about a traveling spirit. Do you notice that? There's something about traveling spirit. Every bus stop, you must buy something to eat. Eh? Did you observe that? Eh? Every bus stop, even a gallop, in fact, because they know that is a spirit, where there is bad roads, there is this street hawkers. They are hawking plantain. They are hawking what? They are hawking. And the truth about it is that it is only stupid that of you, it's carelessness, that something you will eat into your body that you will not be careful over. You see? There are some restaurants that when you enter, you have the point and key. There's another, well, there's a name they call it. Mama put. You know, you will see all around, flies are battling with a spoon. Then there are, you know, flies. Then look at the water they are using to wash the plate to come and serve you. Then look at, and then when you fall sick, a prophet will tell you, now your uncle for village, they fire you. Before you look at an uncle, look at yourself first. Why am I having typhoid? Which water do I drink? Why am I having malaria? How are they take sleep? Amen. Why am I purging? Take it what you eat. Take it what you even physically eat. A sister, I'm sure maybe you are listening to me, somewhere in Benin, came from Benin for a vigil last Friday. I went back. She said on the road, the vehicle that took her, she chartered the vehicle down and went back. I said she was hungry. After vigil, she was going back to Benin. She said she branched and bought food. They bought the food to her in the car, so she was sitting, they were going. So as soon as she ate, she said her body began to react. She said some white things began to come out of her mouth. That sister suffered throughout last yesterday. I had to join her in prayer for God to deliver her before that thing stopped. The whole of her system changed. And she doesn't live in Nigeria. The whole of her system changed. You see? So we learn spiritual things from physical. I believe most of those who were part of us here, and they left and went worldly. Like some of those sisters. You know, they are not even hiding. You know, when the Bible says, woe unto them, they have gone the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is the way of deviance. I don't care what you say. I don't care. And they are pasting those pictures of theirs in the Facebook for the whole world to see. You see? And there were sisters among us, popular sisters among us. And now go and see, you will never think that these people have even ever gone to a church. Talk less of bride assembly that they spent years here. Suddenly, they had another gospel. Suddenly, they had another gospel, contrary to what they were hearing here before. And they rescinded it and said it's true. Maybe that is why I never get husband. Maybe that is why. Listen, my body fine now. Why men not they come? You are eating it now. You are eating it. That's how you begin to eat it. I see my laps. Because all the pictures, they are busy, you know, revealing their cleavages. They are revealing their thighs, their chest. Then they are painting their faces, and then coloration of their hair, and then, you know, and then they are posing, yeah, whether you like or not, see me. For them to do that, they had another gospel. That is the emphasis of my message here this morning. Turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. The Bible says so. Because of what you heard. Because of what we have heard. Churches are hearing this until now. They are accepting homosexuals. not just as church members, but even ministers ordained homosexual, he will proclaim it. Somebody is preaching that is how God made them. That is their nature. That is their nature. It's their nature. Don't discriminate. The Constitution says you should not discriminate by virtue of this, by virtue of that, by virtue of that, by virtue of that. Hey, my learned colleague. Human rights. And so, homosexuals are being wedded. Man a man, woman a woman. Then when they want children, because naturally you must have a child now. When they want children, then they go and adopt. Can you see how awkward this world is turning upside down? It is this same gospel they had that made Israel to reject Samuel and say they wanted a king. They saw what was going on in the world, in those nations that they were going, how their kings would appear, and they thought that is how a true identity should look like. They said, Samuel, thus said the Lord, he don't do. Give us a king. They had something. They reasoned it. That is also what the Bible calls the doctrine of Balaam. That made clear children of Israel to go and join Balpor, the Edomites, the Moabites. They are all related to Jacob through Esau. And they say that we are all one. Let us join together. And when you join together, then you are going to eat what they eat. And one day, 24,000, is it 24,000 or 70,000? Died. 24,000. They died. Because each time you listen to the tree of the knowledge, intellectualism, sweet talk, reasoning, each time you listen to them, you will soon be acting upon what you heard. And so before you know what, Christianity scattered to pieces. They are now saying, but we are one, and they form Christian Association of Nigeria. You see, somebody has to preach it. Somebody has to preach it. And please, if I may use this opportunity to say something. Many of you have forwarded one write-up by a preacher that is speaking about the government of Buhari and an Islamic agenda. I don't know how many people saw that write-up. It's circulating around, it's gone viral. And each time I read that, this preacher knows the agenda of Islam to take over the whole world and take over Nigeria. But he has not told us God's own agenda. That is why I rejected that thing. You are busy looking at danger. What is God's provision for escape? And then you are telling us, pray. You must pray. You are sitting down there. And then they are inciting Christians against Muslims. They are inciting us. Now, I didn't say that they don't have an agenda. They have an agenda. Oh, watch few years from now what will happen in Europe. Watch few years from now what can even happen in Nigeria. I didn't say they don't have agenda. But let me tell you something. With all this fear they are creating, in God's divine agenda, God did not tell us to watch Islam. He told us to watch Rome. Take note of that. Where we have to watch is Rome. He didn't say we should watch Islam. Islam will do what they want to do as long as God will allow them. But it can never affect God's program. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. It can never accept God's program. I searched the Bible. I did not see Islam anywhere that we should be afraid of. We are to be afraid of Rome. I know my scriptures. Don't throw any fear against me. I will not take it. You are diverting me. I will not be diverted. I know where I am watching. I know where I am watching. Let's say be the name of the Lord.
tell me anywhere in the book of Revelation where you see Islam. Nothing like that. Nothing like that.
Fear not, little flock. From two deserts. I beg. Hymn number one, verse one. Let me tell you somebody. Hymn number one, verse one. What does it say?
Fear not, little flock.
From the cross. He went for his own. Hallelujah. All power on earth. All power above. Is given to him. Hallelujah. For the flock of his Lord.
Hallelujah.
Little flock. The Father is aware of what is happening with Islam in Nigeria. Praise God. Don't be afraid of Islam. Islam is dealing with our brethren in the north. They want to do to northern Nigeria what they did to Syria and the rest. Syria was a Christian nation. And all those countries, including Iraq, Iran, they were all Christian nations. Turkey, they were all Christian nations. But what are they now? Complete, if people to have a church, that is an offense. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, nothing can stop God's agenda.
Nothing
can stop God's agenda. When you have that at the back of your mind, nothing troubles you. We shall pray. That's why he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's your prayer. That's why he said we should pray. Pray for his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth. But how many of those who claim to be Christians are true Christians?
We leave that one for them. Let me face Brother Assembly first.
That's the same thing that produced these women preachers. There's a sermon they preach that will make a man ordain his wife, and the two of them will own a church. See how miserable churches are today. That a church now, you go to church now, not no activity again to do for the souls of people to get better and better. Now, somebody told them there are so many ways to win people to Christ. Then they have football club. Football match. You see? They have suya night. You see, just don't do anything that will attract people to come. And in doing anything that will attract people to come, don't touch their dress. Just let them come the way they are. You see, when they come like that, then you give them the gospel, then they will change. If you say they should not come, how would they hear the gospel? Does it not look reasonable if you eat it very well? If you listen to that, I mean, you see, pastor, you are the one stopping people from coming. They have preached that to me. You see, this church will have been much more than this, but you stay too long. You want me to release your time so that you go home in your parlor, put on air conditioner and watch football. Liverpool versus... No, you. So that you will go and sit down in your room and watch football match between Redeemed Church and Mountain of Fire Church football team. Until now, they reduced the altar
to bring in comedians to church for people to laugh. Somebody say, you know, this man is very popular. If you invite him, people will come. To start with. Those stars, they are popular to who? They are popular to who? To Christians, have you? They are popular to you. See, it is because of where your mind is, where your lifestyle tilts towards. Why do you know all the movie stars if you are not watching them? How do you know their names? You know their history. You know the one that has married and has divorced, and the one that is about to marry and the marriage is getting problem. How do you know? Now you cannot be busy, you know, checking about your eternal destination. Your mind is so much in your next place to go. This whole world, what is the attraction here that we're killing ourselves over? To the detriment of your soul. Your mind is supposed to be so heavenly like Daniel in captivity. And you're busy studying and in the internet. What do you do? What do you do within the social network? What are you saying? What are you talking there? What are you exchanging? What are you telling the world? In your Facebook account, wherever it is, what are you doing with it? Now, I am not saying this for anything. You know, people like me, mention any star in Nollywood that I know. I don't know any. And I'm not lying. Maybe once a while, there are some of them that I knew before they went into that something. One of them, let me not call names now, because I may offend somebody who is his worshiper here. You know, I'm telling you something, then to talk less of women. That this woman, when they concern me with a woman, is an adulterer that will be admiring one woman for him. I am married, so when they concern me to admire one woman, except if I'm a fornicator. Anyone here, your Nollywood star, any brother is a woman, you're a fornicator. The day she releases for you, you go catch him. Why will a Christian bother yourself with such things in this closing time? That is why Christianity has been reduced to what it is today. Because you reason. That is that eating. There are two messages going on now, from the Holy Ghost and from the Antichrist. In all his subtlety. In all his subtlety. That is why in Matthew 24, Christ warned you, beware of false prophets. Just like he warned Adam and Eve. When he was saying, don't listen, don't eat the fruit of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, he was actually telling them, don't listen to anything contrary to what I have been telling you. You see that one, there's a spirit that has been disturbing me from heaven. I push and come earth here. Now where are they create you again now? He said that they look at me. I know what he will do. The same way he took away 1/3 of my angels. The same way now he will try to come and take you. The day you listen to him, you eat what he gives you to eat, you will die. Those same spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, they are still here now in the church, carrying Bible and speaking big grammar like serpent will do. And that is why he says, after my departure, Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 from verse 27 to 31, he said, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, to tear away your faith, redirect your bearing from heaven to earthly things, through intellectualism, through sweet talk. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Can we read it? I'm closing, please. Bear with me. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my fall and indeed bear with me. This is Apostle Paul saying. He said, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. He said, for I have espoused you to one husband. Eve espoused to Adam. That I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Eve was this virgin before she met Adam. She was this virgin by serpent. Before Christ will come to take his church, serpent seed has gone and defiled the church. The next verse. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent, going back to the Garden of Eden, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrected from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not, we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Go to verse 13. Verse 13. For such that act like serpents in the Garden of Eden are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan has ministers. Church, Satan has ministers. Satan has ministers. Therefore, take it. Who you listen to? How will you know who is a minister of Christ and who is a minister of Satan? By their teachings. Any teaching contrary to the scripture, it is a minister of, it's another serpent speaking. A minister of Satan. Serpent was a minister of Satan. And that's all I want to establish. Because there at the later time, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, said, many shall depart from the faith. They will be given heed, listening to doctrines of devils. Can we read it? Because some people don't even know this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaker expressly, the Holy Ghost was speaking, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, this Bible faith, giving heed, listening and obeying, eating, responding to seducing spirits. Serpents seduce Eve. They are seducing our minds now, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These scriptures are there for us to watch. Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, he called them damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. So Jude, verse 3 and 4, said we should contend. That is what this ministry is supposed to reflect. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because he said, there are some that crept into our midst unawares, crept into the church. He says, they have been of old ordained to this damnation, condemnation. Ungodly men, what are they doing? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And to deny him is to do anything contrary to his word. You see? And serpent was judged. If you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, serpent was judged. And Jude, from verse 5 to 21, was also telling us the certainty of the judgment. The certainty of the judgment of all false preachers. If serpent was judged, every false preacher will also be judged. But unfortunately, so many will follow their teachings and fall out of the way. And we don't want you to fall out of the way. What is the solution? Can we stand up and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14? This is He says, can we be on our feet? I want to make sure somebody hear the conclusion of the matter. And this is the conclusion of the matter. From verse 14 to verse 18. Listen very carefully and follow. I insist that you must stand up and hear the conclusion of the matter. I insist, by the power of the microphone and pulpit, stand up. Be ye not
unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what dominion hath light with darkness?
And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Wherefore,
the conclusion of what I am saying, come out from among them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from such settings. If there's anybody that has eaten anything, if you have eaten anything that is making you act contrary to the Bible, like Eve did, may that person vomit it out after today in the name of Jesus. Vomit that nonsense doctrine. Throw it away. Come back to the apostolic faith. Come back to Bible Christianity. That is why we are not a denomination. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. What hymn is that? To what? Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Two eighty three. Everybody now.
Walk to the Savior. Make no delay.
Oh yes.
Yeah, with His word, He has shown us the way.
He has shown us the way. Jesus is the way. The Bible is the way. Make him your choice.
Do not delay.
Oh, joyful, joyful.
Joyful, joyful. We love
him. Me. Hallelujah.
Where from me? Heart of your spirit.
Oh,
and we shall gather. There will be.
home. That's our home. Say, say, say. Hey, joyful, joyful.
Joyful,
joyful. Joyful, joyful. Hey.
Hey.
Joyfully clap your hands, Let me hear the sisters. Sisters. Oh, joyful, joyful. I didn't know I would stay so long. I'm a talker, so please forgive me. Hallelujah. We have our visitors who came here for child education. In your church, you came. By now, you should be having the fourth service for today. And now, I took the time you used for three services to preach. I'm very, very sorry. But I hope I'm able to say something that will make you eat. I hope you're able to eat something from me. Hallelujah. So we welcome you all. We can assure you, we'll just worship the Lord a few moments. Then we shall dedicate those children. Then we shall take our offerings and we close. There's nothing to keep us again. Don't use that and say you're not going to come to this church. Please come back, oh. Hallelujah. We don't stay long in this church. As soon as the Holy Ghost says it's over, we stop. Hallelujah. So some people came late. We didn't greet them. Can you turn to your neighbor now and greet your neighbor? Now, tell your neighbor anything you like again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now listen. Please, we don't have to remind you that the last Sunday of every month is a thanksgiving service. It's a thanksgiving service. So, when you are coming, come with a mind to reflect that you appreciate God for the last month. Come with a mind. It's not just a normal service. We should come with a grateful heart. And so we will do what our custom is here. We are going to sing hymn number 245. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then when you are singing that song and you are truly grateful to God, come line by line to the altar and give that thanksgiving offering that will reflect that you are truly grateful to God. And we worship God for a few minutes. When we finish worshiping the Lord, when we finish singing and dancing, then we will end the worship with you telling the Lord why you have been worshiping Him like that. For a few minutes, we want to give you opportunity to worship God. You will tell Him why He's worthy of your praise. You will tell Him why you have been dancing. And please don't look at your neighbor, because your testimonies are not the same. Hallelujah. And the way you show your thanksgiving may not be the way he shows his own. So everybody has a way of expressing their gratitude. So you just do it the best way you know how to, you know, show your gratitude. Hallelujah. When I helped a brother that was in a stress, and then I said I decided to help him, and when I told him what I would do for him, he was sitting in front of me. He didn't know when he was on his knees to thank me. And what was in my mind is, you see, he can kneel down like this and thank me. But when he wants to thank God, he will cross his leg. Father, I thank you. That's what was in my mind. And the brother is hearing me now. You didn't know that was what I was in my mind as you were kneeling down. So I said, I better stand up. I said, I better stand up. You see, some of us, we appreciate man more than God. And unfortunately, you don't know that it is your God that pushes that man to help you. Because of lack of that revelation, you will forget God and be following that man until God will get angry and disconnect you from that man. Then you will come back again to him and say, Father, nobody is listening to me. You forgot him now. You are facing man. No, give glory to God. Thank the man. But let all glory also go to God. When we close, from January until now, from January until now, from 1st of June again until now, you'll be faithful. That's why you are worthy of my praise. We will praise him and reflect it in your offering of thanksgiving and reflect it in the way you worship him also. Are we ready?